Watching the Oreo. Watching the Oreo. Watching the Oreo. Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. As we like to say, this is your official source when it comes to the Orioles for a lack of insight and for baseless opinion. If you're listening to this show, you're doing it on the new Bird's Eye View. You can find us on our new site at www.birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. And Scott, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's all sparkly and fancy. And
it's got new site smell.
So...
yes, that's what that smell is. It's new site.
Formaldehyde?
Yes, yes. So, birdseyeviewbaltimore.com, please come and check us out. We'd love to hear from you about what you think of the site, what you love, what you hate. Come in, get comfortable. This is all for you. So, let us know what you think. You can find us on all sorts of social media. We're still on Twitter at birdseyeviewbal. That's birdseyeview, B-A-L. You can find us on Google+. And what we're actually going to do is we're going to give you a link for that. It's birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/Google+. That's the word Google and the word plus. And you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/bevcast. That's B-E-V cast, as in Bird's Eye View podcast. It's a lot shorter that way.
Yeah, but don't even worry about those like names and stuff like that. Just go to the website and click on the icons in the right sidebar for each of the given things. That way you don't have to remember all that stuff. And you really don't have to listen to Jake talk. You just have to press pretty pictures.
That's really the best way to go about it on a podcast, is not having to listen to me.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for this podcast. Don't listen to what you have to say because, you know, it's pretty much useless, like you just said. So go and click pretty pictures and you'll get to where you need to be.
I like it. Well, we're totally excited for so many reasons. The first is the launch of the new site. We've been working on that for a little while. We're very excited about it. Second of all, there's something going on tomorrow.
Did the Ravens sign someone, or what's going on?
No, they must have gotten their schedule worked out.
I don't think so, but that's another story for another day.
How about we talk about the fact that baseball in Baltimore, well, not in Baltimore, but Baltimore baseball starts tomorrow. The season opener against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Woohoo, we get to open up in the worst stadium of all of Major League Baseball.
It's terrible. Before we start, let's talk of the drink of the week. Scott, what are you drinking?
For a premium occasion, I think it required a premium beer, so I went with National Premium.
That's a fine choice. I actually went terrible beer tonight. I'm working on two terrible beers. Both of them, however, have birds on them. Right now, I'm polishing off a terrible Coors Light with a Baltimore Oriole bird on the front of it.
So that's going to cost you, what, like $8 on Friday?
No. And then I also have a National Bohemian can with a Mr. Bo dressed up in his best orange baseball regalia.
You mean Sherlock Holmes?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So the drink of the week, good and bad
Natty beer. Natty Bo, not bad. Silver Bullet, this is me judging you a little
what
bit.
What does this have to say about our standards? Here you are drinking a fine beverage because you're excited about baseball season. I get excited about baseball season and I start drinking crap.
What can I say? You've been used to it for the past 15 years.
Yeah,
so.
My standards are good. What can I tell you? 15 years? How old do you think I am?
That's true.
Thank you. All right. So enough about the new site. You can also find us on iTunes and that link goes live. And again, we'll put those links in the show notes and it'll be all there for you. All right. Let's talk about spring training. It's now over. Thank God. And now that I'm back in Maryland, I can boo.
You can actually say, man, thank God spring training's over.
That's right. Now that I'm out of spring training, I can poo-poo it again.
It's like once you leave Florida, you're just like, eh. It kind of sucks again.
Yeah, it does.
But while you're there, it's...
it's magic.
It's magic.
Something magic happened down there, Scott. And it will every time you go.
Okay.
All right. So
good for your wife.
Yeah. How about that roster, huh?
Yeah. Look at that roster. That was pretty impressive. You know, you actually predicted the roster almost all the way.
24 out of 25 guys, I will take that every day of the week.
Yeah, the fact that Tillman went on the DL, I'm willing to make the exception. I'll give it an A-. You don't get the full A, but you get an A-, so congratulations. Your GPA takes a slight hit, but hell, you already had flunked all your other classes, so
that's right.
The A-, is just,
you know what,
cherry on the top.
I'm going to take the Tillman thing, because if I'm going to take credit for calling Wilson Betemeet being off the team, I might as well take my lumps when Chris Tillman gets put on the DL to bust up my perfect score.
Yeah, fuck you for getting Woodrow Wilson better, mate.
Hey, if I had that kind of power...
What the hell am I supposed to be doing with this volleyball now?
I would have done away with Kevin Gregg. I would have been much more effective if I had that kind of power. So yeah, spring training's over. Thank God. The roster is... it's a pretty interesting roster. It played out in just about the way I expected. I'm really interested, though, in what happens when Tillman comes back from the DL, because at that point we have a bit of a roster crunch.
Right. I mean, I think it comes back to the question of what do the Orioles do? Do they basically say we're going to waive McFarland and see if the Indians will be willing to take him back, which I have to assume they will. But again, it prevents the other teams most likely from putting them back on the 25-man because their 25-mans are set. So it really comes down to the question of you don't have to worry about any of the other teams coming in here. It's just the Orioles and the Indians trying to work out a deal. Personally, I think McFarland stays. I think that they drop somebody else down. I think they'll drop either Arrieta down, and that's kind of who I think they're going to drop. I think they're going to drop Arrieta.
I think that makes the most sense, mostly because they don't need a fifth starter the way the schedule works out
for Correct.
Basically the whole month of April.
Right.
So they can send him down to the minors, they can get his starts, and at that point, you're kind of doing that shell game with the roster. You keep McFarland at least until May, and at that point, you know, maybe you've got an injury to work out or something
else. Well,
I'd
even make the argument, too, if you need a fifth starter, you could even bring McFarland in for a fifth start. He demonstrated the capability to do so in spring training for these past few games. So he could be that, you know, pitcher like Tommy Hunter was last year, where he pitches five innings, and he's the long man in the bullpen, but he also can come in and basically say, okay, I'm willing to work my five innings.
Sure. We are in a good position, though, where it seems like we have more talent than we have spots for. Now, whether or not that talent's going to work out, that has yet to be seen. But here, you know, right before the opening game of the season, we are in the situation where we've got, you know, too many people for the chairs available, and that's kind of a good situation to be in.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, if it'll force a trade.
They tried. They mentioned that whole aspect of trying to trade Ayala. I just don't see that happening right now. I mean, there's nobody out there saying we need to get, you know, a relief pitcher that wants to hit on, you know, single women out in the bullpen. Let Luis Ayala stay on this team. He's actually a pretty damn good player, all considering. I mean, you looked through some of the highlights from 2012, and Ayala was a key component of that team. An unsung hero for this team, but a key component for that bullpen.
Plus, he's got his move worked out in the bullpen on those ladies.
That's what I just said. You know,
he's a professional.
He is
Scott.
A professional. He's a professional. I think it just really comes down to they just will know, like you said, Arrieta is not going to be necessary. Drop him down into AAA. He's got options available. You know, let's see what McFarland can do if you require it. Or Mattis is still there, too. So you could say, okay, Mattis, it's your turn to
pitch. I'm not sure that I agree that they're going to give spot starts to a guy like McFarland or
They gave
or
spot
Mattis.
Starts to Johnson last year.
Well, yeah, they did. But the thing is with this roster crunch is they're not going to punish Arrieta for the fact that they're trying to keep a Rule 5 guy. Again, we talked, what was it, two weeks ago
I don't know about
now.
That. They punished Andino for keeping Flaherty on the team last year.
Sure, but they don't have as much invested in a guy like Andino as they do in Jake Arrieta. This is, okay. I think, Jake's last chance to become something or not. This is fish or cut bait, and there's a different axiom, but I'm going to leave that one be. The thing is that they need to let him pitch so they can figure out, did he put it together, or is it more of the same? And if it's more of the same, then you send him to AAA. But I don't think that they're going to be punitive about the fact that they're trying to keep TJ McFarland on the team.
Okay. I can't argue with this. It's just, I think that's what they're going to send down. I agree with you. I think they're going to send Arrieta down. Yeah. So okay. Moving on.
All
moving
right.
On.
My favorite part of the program.
Well, I mean, yeah, our favorite part of the program is the Brian Roberts watch.
It's the Brian Roberts watch. Gotta love it.
So he's been fine. He's gone on, you know, road trips finally. You know, he actually got on a bus and drove and his hip didn't break and he didn't get a concussion or anything like that. Congratulations. He actually made it a road trip.
You know, during the season, we'll do the stats. I refuse to do the stats for spring training because they don't matter. It's you know, the points are made up and the rules are made up and the points don't
matter. It only matters if you're there.
Right, it does. It matters a lot if you're there. But he's still upright. I mean, that's basically what we can say at the end of the spring.
Oh, he's upright.
Oh, Lord. Why do I do this to myself? I have such good intentions when we go into these podcasts, and I set myself up for misery each time.
I mean, the biggest news that came out for Brian Roberts is the aspect of people coming and saying, you're going to be the ninth man in the lineup. I think that's a really, not huge news story, but I think it's a news story of, okay, he's not going to bat lead off, he's going to bat ninth, which I don't know how you feel, but I actually like that move a lot.
I love it. And going back to last season, I would give you which podcast it was, but I forget at this point. We talked about the benefits of having that second leadoff guy in the ninth hole and kind of flipping over the lineup.
Yeah, I believe the arguments that we got into is why would you put someone that's a good hitter in the ninth hole?
Because they'll lose at bats.
Because you lose at bats that way. But in the case of Brian Roberts, you're also protecting Markakis when he comes up later in the game as well.
Right.
So if you've got Roberts there, you've got Markakis being protected. I also don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Roberts loses a few at-bats here or there.
Sure.
While he gets, you know, more into the groove of playing on a day-in-a-day basis.
You also don't want to throw that spotlight on him. You know, here he is. He's the leadoff
Literally,
hitter.
You do not want to throw a spotlight right. on him.
Don't do it.
Don't throw bright lights at him, okay?
Again, not what I meant. Jeez. I have to be very careful with my words with you. You don't want to put too much pressure on Brian Roberts to perform as a leadoff hitter. Let him just get back into the swing of things as a major league hitter, and what better spot to do it than the nine hole? I think it's good. And the interesting thing is, if you looked at some of the quotes that Roberts gave in reaction, he's being a pretty good soldier about it. And if he doesn't mean it, he's at least saying all the good Bull Durham things.
Yeah, he's saying the right things. We'll see how he produces. You know, you look at who you had last year in the ninth hole, he can't be any worse. It's only a plus for the Orioles at this time. It's just a question of how long does he last?
Yeah.
And that's the big question mark is, how long does Brian Roberts last and how many games does he play?
Again, you know, like you said, he looks great, but you never know when the other foot's going to fall.
Correct.
And I'm not trying to bury the guy, but at the same time, you can't depend on him. And so that's why Ryan Flaherty's on this team. That's why Alexi Casillas on this team. You know, they've got guys in the minors that are options if something goes wrong. Navarro is a guy that jumps right off the page at me. Not as a starter, but, you know, if Flaherty or Casillas gets elevated to the starter, maybe, you know, Navarro rounds out the rest of the roster as far as being the backup. But,
well, I know that was the conversation being had by a lot of people of why do we need to keep Flaherty and Casillas on this team. And I think it just screams obvious right now how it is. It's just like, who's going to play third base, and what if Roberts goes out? You know, you need to have a multitude of players here that can be positional players in the infield, and Flaherty and Casillas are your people to play it. Could you just have one super utility player? Absolutely. Does that cut back on your depth on your bench? Absolutely. That's not the way Buck likes to roll. That's why I had Wilson Betterman on the team for super utility.
Yes, because he brought his brick to every position.
Correct, exactly.
All right, so that's the Brian Roberts watch. We will do that in depth throughout the season for as long as he is, Scott, upright.
Upright. So 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 more weeks, everybody.
3 weeks. All right, let's talk...
Do you want to go to the next segment, which is the medical wing?
That'd be the medical wing.
Yep. So this is where we cover people that are hurt, injured, went on the DL. I think the first name that would obviously we've got to talk about is Chris Tillman. So that was a retroactive DL move. He'll be starting the fifth game, so he'll be starting Saturday's game in Camden Yards, which is just a really good move by the Orioles to basically provide additional bench and bullpen help going into that Tampa Bay series. And you know how Tampa Bay is with, you know, bringing pitchers in left and right, left and right. I think this is a great move by the Orioles of saying, hey, we got an extra day. Let's make sure that we have additional players available. This kind of resembles the moves like they made last year where they said, you know what? We could use another bullpen hand in the bullpen tonight because we went 16 innings. Let's fly someone from Norfolk out to Seattle.
Just to sit. No, it's definitely consistent with Dan and Buck's approach. You know, as we talked about before, it allowed TJ McFarland to make the club. The other thing it does is it helps build innings for Tillman. I think the main concern was not really Tillman's health, but his readiness, because he didn't get the reps that he needed in spring training. So it's, everybody wins, but like I said, I think the only it's a mortgage for the real roster decision that needs to come.
I think it's still the aspect of, it's partially that, but I think it's also just the aspect of being able to carry someone additional on the team that doesn't need to be done. You looked how Tillman pitched that minor league game this week, and he looked perfectly fine. So is it really the aspect of, oh, he's trying to build strength? No, this is just an aspect of Buck and Duquette are basically using the opportunity to stock their active 25 man roster, as opposed to saying, well, we're not going to be using this guy just Saturday, but he's sitting in the dugout.
Yeah. Well, they do this. I mean, look at the way they are just stashing people away. Lou Ford is going to play in Double A.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they do. And I guarantee that Lou Ford will be on the Major League roster at some point this year. Somebody will get hurt, or, you know, in September when rosters expand, he's going to help the club.
But see, I think that's a great move by Duquette, putting Lou Ford at Double A, because it doesn't matter about being Double A or Triple A, because...
It's not the majors, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. But again, Double A is being used by Duquette and Showalter right now as a development source for all our youth talent. If you look at Triple A right now, Triple A really is Quadruple A for the Baltimore Orioles right now, where Double A is almost our Triple A, where we're basically taking our prospects and we're trying to develop them into being the players that are going to be on this team, maybe not this year, but in future years, or late season call-ups. So that's the reason why Bundy and Gausman are in Double A right now and not in Triple A, because they're being groomed at that position. They're not being groomed to play against Triple A and Quadruple A players in Norfolk.
And if a guy like Lou Ford can get on board with that, I think he can be a good influence for the other players in Double A.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like that, you know, sixth coach, you know, on the bench type of thing.
Correct. And again, you know, a lot of people have actually come out and said, Xavier Avery was one individual basically said the person that he talked to and looked up to the most during his time was Lou Ford, which I thought was really interesting. It was Bill Hall and Lou Ford were the two people that were really big key characters to him in learning how to come up to the major leagues. Well, now, he didn't do much in the major leagues, but still, it's those kind of personalities that really say, okay, there's a reason why this guy is here.
Well, I think what...
Bull Durham and everything.
I think what Xavier Avery did was he looked at the guys who were carrying the walkers.
There you go.
And said, that's the guy I need to talk to.
So Jim Thome?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great move by the Orioles, by the way.
Hey, he hit at least two home runs that Woo-hoo. I can remember.
Thanks, yeah.
And he did a lot of striking out in the playoffs.
Woohoo, all right.
They paid him a lot of money for each strikeout.
Congratulations. Way to hit no tater bombs.
Can we talk about some of the injuries that have quote-unquote healed? And I wish in the podcast you could see the air quotes. But I don't know about you. I'm still worried about Markakis, and I'm still worried about Reimold.
Yeah, it's the aspect of everything seems to be okay right now, but what's going to happen in a few weeks when you start taking the bumps and bruises and the scrapes of these prolonged road trips that the Orioles are going to be on several in April? You just kind of have to hope and pray and think everyone's going to be okay, but you never know. Reimold scares me a lot more than Markakis. Markakis is willing to tough it out, but Reimold just scares the hell out of me. He's just going to have to prove to me that he can actually play just like Roberts can play. I consider Roberts and Reimold right there in the same category of whatever you can bring to the team is bonus.
I wish I could argue with you. I mean, he's the glass man.
He is the glass man. But again, if he plays the full season and is consistent, it could be an amazing bonus for this team. That's what I'm saying. Anything that he brings to the table is a bonus for me. Past that, I'm not relying on him for any kind of defensive or offensive production.
Especially
not defensive production.
Well, the thing about defense, and we've talked about this before, I'm a bigger believer in Reimold's defense than you are, I think, and that's possibly because I'm an idiot. But we have a lot of depth in the outfield, so we don't need to worry about defense. We're going to get defense from somewhere, whether it be Nate McLouth, whether it be a call-up of Trayvon Robinson, whoever. We're going to get defense. The thing that we do need is we need that right-handed bat, whether he's DHing or playing left. We need that day in and day out, and that's what we need from him. I hope that Buck uses him primarily as a DH so that he can stay in the lineup. But if he goes out with an injury, I think that's a real loss to this team.
I think it's a loss, too. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm looking... He's a pure bonus player for me.
Okay.
This season.
Now, Markakis I'm worried about just because, I mean, the neck, you know, it's healed, sure. But what's to say that a herniated disc is not going to, you know,
well, it's not
reappear?
Just, it's not just a herniated disc. It's the aspect of the multitude of injuries that he had last year.
Yeah, but I mean, some of them are freak. I mean, you can't ding him for getting hit in the thumb by CeCe Sabathia.
Oh, I can ding him. He should move faster.
Okay, a reasonable person can't ding him because he got hit by CeCe Sabathia.
And when he sees CeCe Sabathia, I'm saying take the bat out there and start smashing him across the face with it.
Okay. You say that and see how that works out for you.
He can't run away.
This is not Canada-Mexico. It doesn't work that way.
Look, all I'm saying is the Yankees already have $90 million on the DL. I'm looking to put another $30 million on there. So let's make it $120 million on the DL.
Okay. So premeditated attack aside, you're not concerned about Nick Marquez?
Do you think that's illegal in New York?
New York has separate laws. It's like a whole different place.
Gotcha. So that's why they had that whole Escape from New York movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's exactly what it's like up there, right?
Exactly.
That would explain the mongoloid creatures that I see in the stands every single day.
What mongoloid creatures in the stands? Did you see any of the pictures? Okay, we're going to take a tangent right here. This is incredibly professional, but we're going to stop the conversation about the DL, and I'm going to take us 180 degrees.
Are you really going to discuss a Yankees game here?
Yes. Did you see any of the shots of Yankee Stadium in the Yankees-Red Sox game today?
Yeah, you mean the 10 people that were in the stands?
It was great. And if I can find a great one, I will post it up with the show notes today.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal actually posted a picture on the Twitter feed, and it really looked like there was 10 people in the stand in the ninth inning.
Amazing.
Which is absolutely ridiculous, all things considering, because as much as I hate the Yankees, you're down 8-2 to Boston. The Yankees have come back from 6-run deficits before,
and it's opening day. It's opening day. You've waited for months for baseball to return, and you're the Yankees. And I hate the Yankees, but my God, if you're the Yankees, why are you not arrogant enough to stick it out to play your arch rival?
Yeah, they actually heard that Hurricane Sandy was coming by, so they had to get out and evacuate.
I could not believe that. When I saw it today, that warmed my heart, because you know what? They didn't fill the stadium for the playoff games. You know, they may have sold out, but they didn't fill the stadium.
Right.
They're so ho-hum about baseball. Those are not baseball fans.
Am I going to argue here? No.
No. All right, what the hell were we doing here? We were talking...
Yeah, never fucking bring up the Yankees again. Fuck you.
Okay. We were talking about the medical wing. I was worried about Nolan Reimold, Nick Markakis. We'll see
what happens. Benamy is on the DL, of course. He'll be on the DL for at least 2 months, probably more than that. He probably won't be back at the earliest until the All-Star break. So if you've lost Wilson Benamy for half a season, and Wada is still on the DL, he'll probably won't be back to the All-Star break either. So those are the two other big names, at least I consider, to be on the DL going forward. I think Betemeet's the bigger loss out of all those so far. I do really like Betemeet. I think that not having Betemeet and basically having to put Pierce in there as the DH does hurt this team. I know Betemeet doesn't get a lot of credit for his fielding, but man, he does do a pretty damn good job hitting. He does. He had the number 3 slugging percentage versus right-handed pitchers last year.
You're right, and I beat on Wilson Benamy all the time, but you're right. He's a big loss as a left-handed hitter, but as a fielder,
he's absolutely horrible.
He's a
damn
good hitter.
Yeah. As a fielder, he's absolutely horrible, but as a DH,
yes.
He would have been a much better, you know, person to put in there against David Price tomorrow than Steve Pierce.
Well, that's the wrong side of the plate, but he would be a better option most days of the week. I will give you that. And I'm really hoping that Betemeet will come back and fill a role once somebody else goes down, either because of injury or ineffectiveness. I'm really hoping that Wilson Benamita will be a nice shot in the arm when we get him back. Same with Wada, because I do not think that our pitching is going to 100% hold up. Somebody's going to suck. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, someone's going to get hurt in the bullpen, and I think Wada's going to fill that bullpen role.
I agree. I hope that happens.
Right. Let's move on to, you know, preparing for tomorrow, opening day.
Well, not so much tomorrow, but Friday.
Are you looking more forward? I mean, I know you're looking more forward to Friday. I mean, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday really feels like almost like a warm-up session for me for tomorrow. But Friday just screams, it's here, it's here. Thank God it's here. Along with overcast skies and rain.
Well, I'm just bitter about tomorrow because I'm going to be unable to listen or watch the ball game live. So I'm going to have to...
So you have a shitty job is what I'm hearing.
It is a lot like that.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn off my phone.
You know who wouldn't make you watch baseball? Who would let you watch baseball and not work? The Iranians. Not the U.S. government, but the Iranians.
So I'm going to turn off my phone. I'm going to go into social media blackout. I'm going to TiVo the game or whatever.
When you go into your meeting tomorrow at like 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, just go, you'll be able to get right out of that meeting.
It is not a good idea. I may be able to leave the meeting, but I don't think I'll be able to go home.
Okay.
So I'm going to go into
social... So I wouldn't see you Friday. So I would get your opening day tickets too, wouldn't I?
No. No, you wouldn't get them.
Okay. Well, your brother would get them. I would much prefer to go with your brother than you.
You can't negotiate with my wife and you know it.
That's true. Your wife would probably bring Christine along, which so I'd be okay with that as well.
In any event, I'm not excited about tomorrow.
And your dad wouldn't want to see you either.
Just because I can't partake in it. That's why I'm so looking forward to Friday. Tuesday through Thursday will be cool because Wednesday and Thursday will be great because there will be baseball to watch on TV at night. And I gotta tell you, I miss that a ton. I miss being able to just flick on the TV and watch a ball game. And you know, you and I both have kids, and so there's dinner and bedtime and all this stuff. But the great thing about baseball, so you can throw it on in the background, and it's not a great distraction to whatever you know priorities you've got going on at home. But it's always there.
Right. I mean, I'm looking forward to that aspect of, like you said, bedtime in our household is right around 7 o'clock. That's when baseball starts. You can put the kids to bed, you can go downstairs, and you can sit there for 2 hours and watch baseball. And normally right around 8:30 or 9 o'clock, the wife comes and says, I'm going to bed. And you just say, all right, honey, I'll see you in a few hours.
Seventh inning stretch, time to go. Yep.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, it's just a magical part of the year.
Well, you brought up magic. Let's talk about opening day.
Okay.
Opening day. Friday. It's going to be great. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I love opening day. Love it. Can't get enough. It used to be that it was the one time that you could go and everybody was stoked about the Orioles.
Everyone was wearing orange.
Everybody was wearing their Orioles gear. Everybody who was there happened to be an Orioles fan.
That's right. And it wasn't even September 6th against the Yankees.
Right. It was the only day of the year prior to last year that didn't suck. And then last year happens. Which just compounds opening day by a zillion.
Yeah. You still haven't got over last year, have you?
No. No, but opening day is going to be off the hook this year.
Yeah, it's opening day should be off the hook this year. It's going to be amazing to hear the cheers and stuff like that. It should be very similar to the playoff atmosphere that we saw for Game 1 and Game 2.
I agree. I think that... You know, as much as the team says they have unfinished business, I think the fan base wasn't ready to let go of the team come October.
Well, that's obvious because, again, you look at, you know, the fans that showed up to greet the team after they lost Game 5. This is a community that really still loves to root and support this team. I mean, just the showing at FanFest this year was unbelievable. So it wasn't like this whole community has forgotten about the Orioles. This is a community that is ready to support and, you know, really get behind the same players that were here last year. They're still here this year, so they're willing to support them.
And from a Baltimore sports standpoint, everybody's been on kind of a slow burn since October. Because keep in mind, the Ravens won the Super Bowl. I mean, civic pride is at an all-time high as far as Baltimore sports is concerned. And so... The Orioles finally do well.
Pride is pretty high for Baltimore all-time as well. I mean, there really isn't many positive things you can put into the Baltimore category. So when something happens like this, it's just like, holy cow, we have nothing else to root for the city. You know, we've got drugs, and we've got poor education, and our taxes suck. Hey! But we got great baseball and great football, so let's cheer that on.
You are just the bluebird of happiness.
That's why people come and listen.
That is why. They come to listen to you. And you're...
Be miserable.
Yeah. All right, Eeyore, let me try again.
You just keep enjoying your house in Baltimore, by the way.
So everybody's...
That was a great investment, by the way.
Everybody's really excited. Everybody's really excited, Scott, about opening day. It's going to be great. It might be a little dreary.
Yeah, it might be a little rainy, but hopefully that'll change.
I really hope so, because it's going to be like 54 and rainy.
Well, I can take the cold. But I can't take another rain delay with the wife. after dealing with a 2.5 hour rain delay for game one of the ALDS, and after having to deal with a 3 hour rain delay for the Eddie Murray statue game last year, I can't take it anymore. I would get, you know, I'll be divorced if this happens again.
I don't want to be cold and wet because I'm an idiot. I'll be there. I'm going down. We're going down there at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll be there at 9 o'clock.
And if it rains all day, I'm just going to be cold and wet all day. If it rains, that brings up the whole question of how hard does it have to rain for them to have to call this game?
Well, I'm actually thinking the better option would be let it rain. We move the game to Saturday, and the Ravens play on Friday.
That's not quite how it works.
Oh, you can't make that work?
Not at this point in the season.
Okay. I'm trying here.
I actually called my ticket rep, and I said, you know, what happens if it rains? Like, what's the ticket policy? What do the ticket holders from Friday get? And he got really quiet, and he said, they're going to try to play this game at all costs. Because there is no open date in the schedule. It used to be that opening day happened, and then you had an open day in the schedule, and then you played the other two games of the series. Well, they don't have that this year. And basically...
Well, that's what happens when you open up in a dome.
Yeah. Well, they're going to do everything humanly possible to play on Friday.
Right.
It would take torrential downpour to cancel the game.
Okay. Well, I think we'll eventually get the game in. But I can't take another rain delay.
All right. Well, for your sake and for...
That being said, the wife now isn't pregnant, so I could probably entice her with margaritas. There's another individual I could entice with margaritas as well.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah, I know it's been known to happen.
Although I'm back in the beer kick, so, you know, those $20 beers or whatever.
I'll just get you one of those Corona Cerveza margaritas.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I bet you are now.
The Corona-rita?
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Yeah.
All right, what were we doing here? Opening day. So I'm excited about opening day. Is there anything particular about opening day that you're really looking forward to this year?
I'm interested to see who throws the first pitch out.
Okay.
Because there has not been an announcement.
I was going to say, to my knowledge, I have not seen an announcement, so that will be very interesting.
So I'm very interested to see who throws out the first pitch. Rick Sutcliffe was the one individual that threw out the first pitch last year because it was the 20th anniversary. I would really like to see Ray Lewis throw out the first pitch.
It's the obvious choice. It is the absolute obvious choice. And frankly, if they don't figure that out, that's just a travesty.
Yeah, I would really like to see Ray Lewis come in from the bullpen, come running down that orange carpet, do his dance, and then come in and throw out the first pitch.
I like it. I like it. I'm really looking forward to some of the, I guess, ancillary parts of the opening day experience. I know that people who have been critical of the team for the last, 20 years or whatever, have said that the downtown businesses have really suffered because of their poor play and people not coming downtown.
Right.
So I really want to be around town to watch people just be in the Inner Harbor and to you know, hang out at the local bars.
Speaking about business and bars, you saw the news about the bar that's opening up next to Pickles.
That's exactly where I'm going. It's called the Deck.
The Deck?
The Deck.
Yeah.
Basically, it's in the parking lot of the Hampton Inn, which is right next to Pickles. I'm interested to see what the vibe is of that particular establishment, because it'll be interesting. They gave some quote that said something to the effect of, you know, we don't see ourselves competing with Pickles and Sliders because there are a lot of people that can't get into Pickles and Sliders. We feel like there's plenty of business available for everybody. Well, that's all good and fine, but I'm interested to see, you know...
I'm interested to see what are you charging for beer, and do I need to be touched and groped and shoulder-to-shoulder with another guy that is, you know, 6 or 7 years younger than I am?
Hey, look, your interests aside, it's a good question.
Yeah. But it'll be an entertaining experience. This will be my third opening day, so I'm looking forward to it.
I've been to quite a few in a row. I think I've lost count at this point. Another interesting thing that I've seen is that Camden Yards has apparently made some changes to their menu selections. I don't know if you saw this. This was in the Sun today. But there are a lot of new offerings at Camden Yards as far as food is concerned. And a lot of them look frou-frou. There's like, you know, Korean tacos and stuff like that. But there are two things in particular.
Are you going to talk about the hot dog?
Dying to try. The triple decker hot dog.
The triple decker hot dog does look pretty amazing.
So, if you haven't heard about this, it's a hot dog. And on top of the hot dog is pulled pork.
Yeah.
But wait
It gets better.
On top of the pulled pork is
bacon on a stick.
Bacon on a stick. And the bacon on the stick is the bacon from Dempsey's.
Yes.
Which is like bacon on HGH.
Yeah, it's thick cut bacon with Old Bay on it, basically. So they take this bacon, Old Bay, and then it'll be on the pulled pork, and then it'll be on the hot dog. So it should be a pretty nice little hot dog.
You might as well just open up your chest and shove it directly into your artery, but it sounds amazing.
It does. And I'm assuming the other one that you're going to say is the crab waffle fries?
Crab waffle fries were appealing.
Okay.
But the one I was looking at was actually still crab involved. It looked like a bratwurst.
Okay.
With crab and, like, you know, a crab on top.
Yeah, I saw that one. I don't like to mix and match that aspect, so...
Mix and match? If you put heaven and awesome together, you get awesome heaven.
I'm going to keep with meat...
On a bun.
I'm going to keep with meat byproducts, pork, and then more pork.
All right. I can't argue with that. You're not going to get an argument from me. The triple-decker hot dog looks amazing. And yeah. I'm not a big proponent of buying stuff at the stadium, but they may have gotten through to me.
Yeah, I mean, all things considering, we went to Dempsey's multiple times last year, even though we're not big proponents of eating at the stadium. And every single time we went, we always had a good time.
It's true. Well, I mean, Dempsey's, and we've talked about this in the past, I don't feel like Dempsey's is that overpriced in compared to, like, you know, buying an $8 Natty Bow or, you know, whatever you have to shell out.
Even going over to, like, Diamond Tavern or something like that, you're basically paying an upcharge for being in the Inner Harbor area.
Sure.
It's a very similar charge for being in that Inner Harbor area, but you're in the stadium eating ballpark food.
When I go to Dempsey's, I don't feel like when I leave I have to walk funny. When I come away from the concession stands, I do have a little giddy up in my step.
Well, that's because of the ethnic individuals behind the
concession. All right, enough out of that. Moving right along. That's opening day. I'm stoked. I can't wait to be there. Again, it's against the Twins, so I feel it's kind of like homecoming, you know? It should be a good time.
Yeah, you pick a team that you know you can beat.
All right, so that's opening day. I think the next thing we should tackle is predictions.
We can get into predictions. We did this last year and we were highly inaccurate, so why the hell not? Let's start right back to where we were last year. Let's create with our highly inaccurate predictions.
We weren't just inaccurate, it was awful. Well, we were terrible at this.
We were surprised, just like a lot of people were surprised.
I predicted that the Orioles were going to lose 100 games. 100 games.
That's because you're a shitty fan, but that's true. The point.
It's not just fandom. I'm bad at many things. And predicting is apparently one of them.
Okay, well, let's start with the AL East. I'm going to let you start with the AL East.
All right. I am picking to win the AL East.
Drum roll.
I'm picking the Rays.
What?
Yeah, I'm picking the Rays on the basis.
Fuck that, you, by the way.
I know. I'm picking the Rays based on their pitching. They always have pitching. They always have too much pitching. They have pitching coming out of their pitching. They have the kind of pitching that you can hide a lot of faults with. And the Rays do have faults. But they're going to pitch extremely well in a parity-driven AL East. And I think it'll be the difference to push them to the top.
Congratulations, you pitched really well. But you can't hit worse shit.
It's true. So my AL East goes as such, may I?
Go for it.
I have the Rays up top.
Okay.
I have the Orioles as the second place team.
Okay.
I have the Blue Jays coming in third.
Okay.
I have the Yankees in fourth.
Okay.
And I have the Red Sox in fifth. But I got to be honest, it would not surprise me to see the fourth and fifth place teams flipped.
Okay, but you think the first through three teams are basically in that area. Do you think any of the first three teams could be moving between those first three spots?
Well, I mean...
I mean, do you think the Orioles could be in first place?
I feel like it's a cop-out. Well... Let me stop and say, homerism aside, no, I don't think the Orioles are going to win the AL East.
Okay.
However, I feel like the cop-out answer is any one of the five teams could basically win the division. I can't really see Boston winning it, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me to see Boston in the high 80s. I feel like the Yankees' demise has been greatly reported, and I think it'll happen. But at the same time, that dark magic happens all the time. And yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see them back in the conversation.
Right.
You know, maybe not. I don't see them taking the division, but maybe they'll be in second or third place.
Right.
You know,
you can easily see Derek Jeter coming back from the DL and hitting over 400 for the rest of the season.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be a real factor, because it just seems like the team that wins the offseason never turns that into a real accomplishment. I don't think that you can go and buy the best and brightest toys and suddenly become something in the AL East.
You're right. The Yankees have never done that before.
Well, it's true.
The Red Sox never did that either.
Toronto is going to be scary, and their pitching could be phenomenal. But I have real concerns about their bullpen, and I'm just not sure that all the mercenaries are going to get together and find that magic in Toronto that you've seen in the past with New York.
So what happens? You go across the Canadian border, and all of a sudden, all your magical baseball powers disappear?
But say what you will about the New York Yankees, but there's something about the New York Yankees. You know, when you live in the shadows of all those legends.
Yeah, when you play in front of 10 people in the ninth inning, strange shit happens, okay?
Look, the Orioles have played in front of 10 people plenty of times.
True.
It's never worked for them. My point being is that I don't feel like their acquisitions are enough to put them into the stratosphere. I think that they'll be good. I think that the whole AL East will be good, though. And so it could happen any which way. I picked them to finish third behind the Orioles and the Rays.
Okay. This is where I put my point into it, right?
Yeah, what do you got going on the AL East?
AL East. Drum roll. AL East champions, Baltimore Orioles.
Amazing.
AL East champions, Baltimore Orioles.
You know, I get called the apologist all the time. I'm supposed to be the optimist. You're supposed to be the pessimist. What's going on here?
Oh, I'm the pessimist by the aspect of how many wins they're going to have, but they're going to be the AL East champions.
All right. How does your five-team AL East shake out?
My five-team shakes out like this. It's Baltimore, Tampa, Blue Jays, New York, Boston.
Okay, so it's not incredibly different from my own.
Not completely different, but I have less faith on the Tampa Bay pitching. Yeah, you got David Price, you've got Helixson, you've got a pretty darn good rotation. But do you know who the fifth starter is for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? Exactly. So why do you think their rotation is so good?
First of all, why do you still call them the Devil Rays?
Because they are the Devil Rays.
No, that changed like a million years ago.
No.
They don't have the rainbow front on their uniforms anymore.
In my mind, they do.
They've got that stupid starburst now.
No, they still have the rainbow.
Okay, so it's still the Devil Rays.
Yeah, damn right they are.
You're a twisted individual, sir.
Just like the Nationals, they're still the Expos in my head.
The Nexpos.
Yes, the Nexpos, exactly.
But you think that the Rays aren't going to be that good, that the pitching just won't hold up?
No, I think the pitching will hold up. I just don't think it's going to be as good as you think. I think it's going to be good, but I don't think it can combat the aspect of how futile that lineup really is. Now, Will Myers comes up and basically goes on a rip and tear, which is definitely a possibility based off the aspect of what we saw Machado do last year. I think there's a possibility that Myers could come up and basically provide, you know, the counter to Longoria and basically be a Bash Brothers combo. But unless someone comes up and gives Longoria some additional help, I just don't see the aspect of losing BJ Upton from that lineup and saying, yep, we're going to be a better offensive team. They really weren't a good offensive team last year. Why do we think all of a sudden they're going to get better by trading away James Shields? They're building to the future. This whole aspect of now saying, well, they traded away Shields, and they got a prospect that's not currently playing for them, but they're going to be better, just seems kind of silly to me.
All right, these are great points, and these are absolutely great points. The only thing I will counter with is, as confident as we feel about the Orioles' depth, and about how good we feel that we can bring people up from the minors and have them contribute at the major league level, this is what the Rays do.
Congratulations. That's what they've done. This is what we do now.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to argue the point. You are drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm loving it.
So, and again, I kind of agree with you about the Toronto aspect. Great team on paper. I need to see it in person. Rotation looks great. The fact that they have Melky Cabrera and Reyes on that team, along with Bautista, should be an absolutely amazing lineup. I can only imagine the amount of home runs that they're going to hit in the Rogers Center. So that team scares me. But that being said, I don't think the pitching is going to be as good as we're forecasting it to be. There are some solid pitchers on that team.
It's a really good rotation.
But the Phillies have had a good rotation in the past, too. And it hasn't given them the guarantee of, you know, doing really well. Now, that being said, the Phillies didn't have the guarantee of doing very well because their lineup sucked as well. But they had the star power in that lineup that said, you should be good, but they never came out good. I don't think that's going to be the case for the Blue Jays. I think they've got plenty of pop in that lineup that they're not going to have that issue. I just don't think the rotation is going to be that well. Dickey didn't impress me during the World Baseball Classic. Whether he can have that magical season like he did last year, it's really a question. You're a knuckleballer. These things can just go like that. Dickey has come out multiple times in press releases and said, you know, I can get in there and I can be pitching, and then all of a sudden I can be go right to the manager and say, you know what, I'm just not feeling it tonight. And he and his manager with the Mets basically had that working relationship. Will be interesting to see how the Blue Jays handle that situation and who the Blue Jays go to in their bullpen if Dickey doesn't have the ability to go any further in the game.
I hope you're right. I mean, I find that I'm dismissive. I don't think that they're going to win the East, but they are scary.
They're very scary. They're very scary.
All right, I don't think we need to go one through five of the rest of the divisions, but can you give me your winners for the Central and in the West?
Sure. My AL Central winner is the Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Verlander, Cabrera, Fielder. What else needs to be said?
Right. I think
Victor Martinez comes back for them, too.
That's right. V-Mart. I think the rest of that division is going to be better. I think that the Chicago White Sox have a real chance of being for real. And I think that the Royals are going to be better. I think that the Royals are going to make waves in the AL Central, and they're not going to be a doormat anymore.
Yeah,
that has the possibility of shaving wins off of the Tigers. But I agree with you. I think that the Tigers take the AL Central. They're just way too talented not to.
Yeah, the Tigers are too talented to not take the Central. That being said, there are good teams in that division. And the White Sox were right there last year with the Tigers. So it's not like the White Sox were a bad team last year. I personally think that it's going to be right there. I think the Twins are out of it. But I think all those other four teams have a possibility of competing. I just think the Tigers are one of those top teams in the American League that I just see them taking that division.
Yep, they've certainly got the pedigree.
Yep.
All right, what about the West?
West is Angels. I mean, how can you argue the Angels besides? The only thing that is the weak point in the Angels is maybe rotation. Maybe.
I am a little worried about the Angels' rotation. I'm actually taking the A's. I'm taking the A's to win the West.
Now, are you taking them based off their rotation? Because that's a very unheralded rotation, but it's a damn good rotation.
I'm taking them basically to follow up on their winning ways from last year in the... I mean, unheralded is probably the best word you could have used. They're unheralded. They're not names you know. But that's a good ball club over there. And more than just being a good ball club, they, and stat people hate this, they know how to win. And they have a year under their belt of realizing that they don't suck and that they don't have to suck.
Right.
And that's very dangerous. The other thing is that the AL West is going to have the Astros.
Yeah.
And everybody in the West is going to feast off the Astros if you know, you can believe the hype. I think that the A's are going to take advantage the most. I think the A's are going to come out on top in that division. And I think it'll be just like last year. They'll be impressive throughout the end of the, you know, through the rest of the season, but come the end, you're going to be like, oh crap, the Astros won.
Okay. That's fine. I think that's fine. The A's are always there, in my opinion. They're always competing with that Moneyball system. They never really make a significant mark in my head. Last year was probably the first mark in my head since that one run. I was just like, holy cow, this is actually a really good team. I think they'll finish right above 500. I think they'll finish with like 84, 85 wins. And I'll be like, okay, they had a winning season. Big deal, so what? Who cares?
Okay. All right. So we've gone through the East, Central, the West. Who are your two wild card teams?
My two wild card teams are Tampa Bay, which I think is pretty obvious. I think that the American League East provides two teams into the playoffs. I think Tampa Bay finishes one game behind the Orioles.
Tight race.
Very tight race. Very tight race, but I think they finish one game behind the Orioles. And my other wild card team is, surprise, surprise, Cleveland Indians.
All right, I am legitimately surprised.
I just think the Indians will finally roll back the, you know, the curtain of saying we're losing, we're losers, and be the Baltimore Orioles of this year and basically be that wild card team. I think it comes back to the Central. I think in the Central, you know, there's two teams that register in my head of having the possibility, the Indians and the Royals. I think either of those two teams could be wild card teams, but I'm going to go with the Indians. I think they had the possibility to be the surprise wild card team for this season.
All right, it's not crazy. And I'll tell you, the Cleveland Indians made a lot of splashes in the offseason.
Right.
And if it weren't for the Toronto Blue Jays, a lot of people would probably be talking about the Indians
yes.
having, you know, quote unquote, won the offseason.
Yes.
All right.
And they've got the Sheriff, so I've got to tip the cap to him a little bit on
well,
that one.
I mean, the Sheriff really is the...
It's the story right
it's
there.
It's the difference maker. As far as the wild card, I'm taking the Baltimore Orioles to take one of the wild card slots. I've got them slotted in the wild card one position.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, take the two instead.
Okay.
My second wild card, and this is why I've got the O's number one, I'm taking the Royals.
Okay.
I'm taking the Royals. I think the Royals have stacked themselves up with premium talent.
They want to win now.
And they want to win now. And
if they didn't want to win now, they would have waited for Will Myers to mature a little bit more and just basically said, we're going to keep growing, we're going to keep growing. But they want to win now. That's why they went out and got Shields. They have definitely a possibility to go out there and win right now. I just don't know if they have enough on that team to become that second wild card team.
I think you're right. I tried to go against chalk.
I
really did. And I think that, you know, the A's and the Orioles last year really proved you don't have to be the New York Yankees. You don't have to be the Los Angeles Angels of wherever they are now in order to spend a ton of money and to dominate your division. I think that a lot of these teams can be emergent. Even the Indians, you know,
right.
A great example of if things break right for them, they've got a real chance.
Correct.
And so I'm going to go with the Royals. I love what they've been doing the last couple of years, and I think they're going to push through.
Okay. I can't argue that. All right. National League. East.
As much as it pains me to say, I'm taking the Nationals.
Nationals. All right. Enough with that. I don't want to talk about the fucking Curly W. Moving on.
I'm telling you, they're going to be good this year.
They're going to be good this year, but fuck them. Moving on. National League Central.
National League Central. I have the Reds.
I have the Reds as well. I think
this is riveting.
Well, it's the National League. Fuck them. They don't even use a DH. National League West.
I've got the Dodgers.
Yeah, I've got the Dodgers as well with their huge, massive payroll. Go Magic Johnson.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, the Giants are clearly a powerhouse out there, but...
The Giants are somewhat a powerhouse, but they had almost a magical season as well, like the Orioles. I mean, Lincecum really had a pretty shitty year last year, all things considering. They shouldn't have been as good as they were last year. They just came together at the right time.
Yeah.
Almost like Ravens-esque almost.
Okay. I'll take that. I think that the Giants have a possibility out there.
No way.
But I think the Dodgers take it.
Yeah, there's no way the Giants have a possibility out there. It's Dodgers all the way.
All right, now who are your wild card teams out there?
Okay, my wild card teams are the Braves, which I think we both can agree. Absolutely. Look at that outfield.
Yeah. No, I took the Braves as my wild card one.
Yeah. The outfield for the Braves with the Upton brothers is just going to be, oh my God.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. And then wild card number two, I went with the Milwaukee Brewers.
What?
I went with the Milwaukee Brewers.
All right, explain this one.
I just think Braun is going to have a great season, and I think the aspect of them...
Well, what kind of drugs is he on?
Well, it was disproven.
But how many tests is he going to get out of?
I think them also saying Kyle Losey is going to play a big role for the season coming up as well.
Okay, so you think that he really participates in a winning season for the Brew Crew?
I do.
Okay. I went with the Cardinals. I think that they will probably be the second wild card.
Congratulations, you just picked the Yankees of the National League.
No. The Yankees of the National League are the Dodgers. I've already picked them.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I think the Cards have enough left in the tank as far as talent is concerned to take the second NL wild card slot.
Well, you're close. You picked the right division, but you picked the wrong team. So
all right. Well, as far as predictions go, we have shown ourselves to be really good at this, so let's face it, it doesn't really matter anyway.
That's true. Okay, American League Manager of the Year.
I'm going to take, going back to my prediction about the wild card, I'm going to take Ned Yost.
Congratulations, you're wrong again, because it's going to be Buck Showalter.
You're taking Buck to get Manager of the Year.
He'll get it this year.
What? Okay. All right. I hope you're right. He should have gotten it last year.
He should have, but this year he'll get it.
All right. Who's your AL Cy Young winner?
Justin Verlander.
Is he going to be Verlander-esque?
Of course he's going to be Verlander-esque.
I don't know. That's a pretty daunting challenge.
And not really. Not for him.
No, that's true.
The man dated Kate Upton, so nothing can faze him.
Yeah, but past tense.
Doesn't matter. He basically got tired of that, okay?
All right. All right. He's that good.
Yeah.
My Cy Young candidate is going to be King Felix. Okay. He's the richest guy in the room. You might as well pick him.
That's fine. Just we'll see if anyone notices the Mariners this season.
No, nobody will.
Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped them in the past from you know, kicking ass and taking names and being noticed.
True. All right, AL MVP.
It pains me. You know, it seems so obvious, but I'm going to go with Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. The sabermetrics guys get their payback this year. So
absolutely. And there will be no Triple Crown to argue with.
Correct.
If the Triple Crown hadn't happened last year, I feel like Mike Trout would have gotten it.
I agree. So Mike Trout will have a full season under his belt. He won't have a partial season. He'll have all the sabermetrics guys saying, oh, we should be voting for this guy. He gets the MVP easily.
Okay. Let's switch over to the National League. Who's your manager of the year?
Ron Raneki.
Okay.
Manager of the Brewers.
Why?
Because the Brewers get their wild card. They get into the playoffs.
I hope you're right, but I think you're crazy.
Well, you know I'm crazy, but he's their manager of the year.
All right. My manager of the year is Davey Johnson.
Again?
Yes.
That's if he lasts.
Well, the thing is that Davey Johnson, this is his last year. He has announced this is his last year. So I think it's kind of going to be one of those lifetime achievement award type of things.
Gotcha.
That's how I'm going about it.
Okay.
What about your NL Cy Young award winner?
I'm going with Gio Gonzalez.
Okay. I know you hate talking about the Nationals, but I mean, you could pick any of those top three from the Nats.
Moving on. We're not talking about the Curly W's. Moving on.
They've got a chance.
Fuck those Curly W's.
It's going to be a good rotation.
Fuck them.
All right. I'm taking Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw?
First, because he... Yeah, Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Kershaw?
Kershaw? Kershaw?
He's not Jakubakis.
It's a great name, Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw. He's going to be the Cy Young Award winner, not only because he's a dominant pitcher, because he hits a home run in every start so far of the 2013 season.
That's pretty impressive.
It's a good stat.
Yeah. Watch out, Babe Ruth.
I'm good with stats.
There you go.
What can I tell you?
All right, National League MVP.
You're going to love it. I'm taking Bryce Harper.
All right, moving on. I don't even want to hear about that bullshit and that stupid fucking pony tail doofus.
I will say he will only get the NL MVP if he shaves off that ridiculous hair.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Who do you have?
I got Joey Votto from the Cincinnati Reds.
It's a good pick.
I think the aspect is, you look at how he hits. There's a streak there last season where he didn't hit a ball in the infield. He always hit to the outfield, even if it was like an out.
Yeah.
So he never had an out in the infield. That's just unbelievable. I can't imagine that.
He's also got some ridiculous streak about not hitting foul balls in
yeah.
the infield or something like that.
Yeah.
He's a pure hitter.
Yeah, he's a pure hitter. He's my MVP. Leads the Reds to another pennant. And people actually recognize how good of a player he is. He also got hurt for part of the season last year, which is why he didn't get higher in the MVP candidate. He's my MVP for the National League.
So you're saying this year is the year?
This is the year that the Reds actually do something in the playoffs.
Okay. Too. I think it's a great pick.
All right. Now let's move back to the Orioles.
All right. So you want to talk about Orioles. You want to do this.
Yeah, I want to talk Orioles because... So they're going to lose 100 games, right?
No, not this year.
Okay.
Not this year. Let's do a couple of predictions. I've got a great one for you.
Okay, but do we want to start with wins and losses, or do we want to end with that?
Let's end with wins and losses.
Okay, we'll end with wins and losses.
We'll build to that.
Okay. So what is your first prediction?
My first prediction, it's my favorite segment, so I'm going to go back to it. Brian Roberts.
Okay.
My prediction is that Brian Roberts will play over 100 games in 2013.
In the major leagues.
In the major leagues.
Okay. I don't see that happening.
I'm telling you, over 100 games. He's done 115 over the last three, so he's going to basically eclipse that this season.
Okay. Now, do you think he's actually going to have decent production in those 100 games?
If he's going to last 100 games, he's going to have to.
Okay, because you think Buck will just say, if you're not going to have decent production, I'm going to bench you.
I do.
Okay.
What do you got for your first prediction?
My first prediction is Matt Wieters will be within the top five for MVP voting this season.
Oh,
I think Matt Wieters has a breakout season, not just behind the plate, but at bat. I think he hits 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. I think he has a breakout season at the plate.
If that happens, combined with the Buster Posey deal, he will be
a very rich man.
Expensive.
Yep, very rich man, but very well worth it.
All right, I'm going to go with prediction number two and say that Adam Jones exceeds 100 RBIs. He gets more than 100 RBIs this season.
That's fine. That'd be a really good supporting aspect to the Orioles winning the pennant when Adam Jones has 100 RBIs and Matt Wieters has 100 RBIs and saying, oh, that's the way we win the AL East.
Okay. So you think that Matt Wieters, I think that Adam Jones, and your argument is if those things both happen, they're going to be in pretty good shape to win the AL East.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. What do you got going on next?
My next prediction is Jim Johnson will not finish the season as the closer for the Baltimore Orioles.
What?
I think Pedro Strop finishes this season as the closer for the Baltimore Orioles.
Now, do you think that he will not end up as the closer because he will fail to follow up on his record-breaking season last year, or do you think that he's going to get moved?
I think he is going to not live up to the potential that we all think he's going to.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised by this.
Yeah.
It's a shocking prediction.
It is a shocking prediction, but that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think Jim Johnson's going to have the success like we saw last year, and I think Pedro Strop gets moved into the closer position.
Okay. All right, you ready for my last prediction?
Sure, bring it on.
This is a good one.
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of this one.
All right.
2013.
Okay.
Following up on last year's unbelievable Buckle Up Birds season.
Okay.
Season ticket sales at an all-time high.
Okay.
The Orioles
will
exceed 3 million at the turnstiles.
All right, how many people did they have last year?
I don't know, 2.4, I think.
So they would have to see, what, a 30% increase in order to see 3 million?
At least.
That's a pretty big increase in people walking through.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
I think the team's going to do well this year, and because of it, attendance is going to bump through the roof.
Okay. All right. My last prediction is going to be Kevin Gausman will be this year's Manny Machado, and that he will be called up sometime around August to join the Orioles rotation, and he's going to lead the Orioles during the pennant race in August and September into the playoffs and win the first American League East pennant since 1997.
I'm relieved to hear that you didn't say that Gausman was going to play third base. Because the next Manny Machado, I got nervous. But
no.
Okay, so he's going to come up. He's going to do well. He's going to be an impact player.
Correct.
All right, great. We differ about where we think the Orioles are going to fall, but let's do wins and losses. Scott, you first.
Okay. I think the Orioles are going to finish with 90 wins and 72 losses.
90 wins and 72 losses. That's crazy talk. That is absolute crazy talk.
What did you end up with?
I think they're going to win 89 games with 73 losses.
What?
Yes.
How do you not think they're going to win the division with 90 wins? It's going to be a very equal division. It's not like you're going to need like 95 or 98 wins. 90 wins is plenty. Why couldn't you just go with 90 wins and say, oh, they're the division winners?
Because I think they're going to win 89, and I think they're going to be a wild card team.
You know what? You're such a non-fan. I might as well just give you a Tampa Bay hat and be like, go Devil Rays.
I think if
go Devil Rays. I'll get you the freaking rainbow across your shirt and everything.
I think that there's one thing that I'm clearly guilty of. It's
being a Devil Rays fan?
It's not supporting the Orioles enough.
Okay.
It's not being enthusiastic enough about the Orioles. You got me.
You're saying 89 wins. I'm saying 90 wins.
Yes.
That doesn't seem that far apart.
It does not. And yet it sounds like we're ages apart. I think it comes down to, I think that the AL East is going to be bunched together, and that whereas it won't take 95 wins to win the AL East, it will take more than 89 to win the division.
Okay. But is it possible that 90 wins could win the division?
I guess. I mean, hell, it's possible that 88 wins the division.
That's true.
It all depends on how these teams beat each other up. And it also depends on how the AL West feasts upon Houston. Because there's a very good chance that the AL West gets one of the wild card spots rather than the AL East, strictly because of getting fat on Houston. I hope we get fat on New York.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
I would make my season.
Well, I think we've made some pretty decent predictions. You know none of them are going to come true.
I think that come All-Star break, when we review these, we will realize how foolish we were.
Right. But there is a lot of optimism to look forward to for this beginning of the season. A complete 180 from last year's podcast where we first did this. So that's encouraging. Let's just hopefully this season doesn't turn a 180 on us and disappoints us going into this season.
It's very interesting. Last year, low expectations, high reward. This year, the Orioles, you know, are expected by many, especially many locally, to be fun to watch. And I hope that is
the case. Yeah, we've got high expectations. It's like we're going to prom and we're expecting to get laid. And we better get laid, because if we don't, we're going to be a little upset with ourselves.
My 3 million attendance will never happen if we don't get laid.
Yeah, it will never happen if we don't get laid. So everyone, we better get laid. That's the message that you should be leaving with tonight, is we better get laid.
How does this happen? Every time, you know, I try so hard every time.
And then I just draw you right into it. You just follow right into it.
Never works out.
So, again, Brian Roberts' wife, we better get laid.
All right, anything left from you tonight?
No, I think I just got it all out right there, actually.
Okay. Well, with that, again, thanks for listening to Bird's Eye View. Please check us out on the new site, www.birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. And go O's.
Go O's. It's going to be an exciting week. We'll touch base next week, and we'll be posting things on the website regarding some game recaps, but also looking forward to the series coming up as well through the season. So keep an eye, not just for podcasts, but blog posts coming up this week. Until then, Baltimore, we'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Good night.